Okay, let's start with a content notification, shall we? The Queer Conjure podcast is about queer people, trans people, witches, neurodivergent people, you know, marginalized people who have experienced a wide spectrum of community pleasure and structural harm. We're going to talk about all of it, the magical, the joyful, the painful. We are embracing the light as well as the shadows. If that doesn't sound like what you're up for right now, I invite you to move on to another podcast. Have fun. If it is something you want to listen to right now, get cozy, babies, because here we go. Hello, you out there in podcast listening land. Welcome to the Queer Conjure podcast. I am Jasper Joy, your host. My co-creator is Ava the Raven. Our work is designed to queer the path towards magic liberation by banishing binaries, caring for community, practicing witchcraft from a non-hierarchical lens, and what else? Centering the sacred trans experience within the tarot cards. Offerings other than this podcast include one-on-one sessions, downloadable workbooks. Soon we will have these beautiful self-paced virtual classes, magical essays, much, much more. I just want to say thank you for being here. And if you can, please share this episode with your friends and leave a review on Spotify or Apple. This is the support we need in order to see Queer Conjure grow and thrive and stay alive. Okay, so before we get into the heart and soul of this episode, I just want to tell you a couple things. Couple housekeeping things. Queer Conjure is changing. Over the next several weeks, Ava, my co-creator and editor extraordinaire, and I are creating some changes that feel much more in alignment with our values and the way we want to support Palestinian-led movements for justice. Essentially, we are breaking up with our website and we're moving our offerings to Substack and Etsy, possibly YouTube, and we will have a new booking calendar available soon. For now, you can still book through queerconjure.org, but it'll only be for a few more weeks. The best way to know about our changes is to go to our new Substack and subscribe. Let's see, what else? The podcast will remain the same. Our Instagram will remain as is for now. Our Substack is going to have all of our writing on it. A lot of free content, but if you really want to support us and receive even more rad, queer, joyful, magical creations from us, please do sign up. Our membership is $5 across the board. $5 for Queer Conjure goes a long, long way. Substack is also going to be how you find out about our special offerings. Like right now, for all of December, I am offering a free 20-minute tarot reading to anyone who donates to Transmission Asheville. You just email a screenshot of your donation to queerconjure@gmail.com, and I will give you a free coupon that you can use until March. Let's see, what else do I want to say about that? Nothing. Let's move on to the heart and soul of the episode.
Hi, this is Ava. My pronouns are they, she, and he, and I'm Queer Conjure's conduit of organization, amongst other things. I specialize in anchoring ideas into fully-fledged works. You can find out more about my offerings and see if we can make a good fit at the Queer Conjure website under About Us at queerconjure.org and book a free 30-minute consultation. Bye!
Okay, I just need to start this episode by pausing and acknowledging that 2023 was and still is fucking brutal. Brutal. We've got wars, we've got mass genocide. America has had over 700 mass shootings so far. We've got these anti-abortion laws, we've got these anti-trans bills, we've got a lot of heartache and harm seeping into our bodies and our eyes and our ears. It's a fucking lot. It's brutal. It's so brutal. So let's just start by putting one hand over our heart and then our other hand over that hand. Closing our eyes and taking a deep breath. Don't close your eyes if you're driving. If you're not driving, close your eyes, take a deep breath. And see if you can find a way to tell that activated, anxious, urgent feeling part of yourself, it's all right, buddy, I've got you. Yeah, shit is hard. And right now we're okay. Blessed be. Hail and welcome, merry meet. So I've been writing a lot of journal entries through 2023, and as we approach the winter solstice and also approach a new calendar year, though personally I believe that we experience a few new years within the witch's wheel, but for numerology's sake and tarot's sake, I'm specifically talking about the shift from 2023 to 2024. 2023, the chariot year, is coming to a close. The chariot year had a theme of boundaries, of learning how to be accountable for our own boundaries in order to have interpersonal dynamics that feel really good and in alignment with our values. Because understanding our boundaries and having the tools to practice them is a necessary component to moving from a chariot year to a strength year. Because 2 + 2 + 4 = 8. And 8 is the strength card. Sometimes 8 is the justice card, depending on the method you use. In my opinion, both cards need each other in order to embody what they're each really about, which is compassion. Because it is only when we have a solid practice of respecting healthy boundaries can we step into a practice of compassion. Boundaries are so necessary for understanding who we are and what we're capable of. So the chariot, number 7, is kind of the end of one thing and the beginning of the next. So the strength card, number 8, will be our card for 2024. Sometimes 8 is the justice card, depending on the method you're following. For my sake, my practice, I use 8 as strength. I also spend a lot of time thinking about how the strength card and the justice card are interchangeable. You can't have strength, true strength, without justice, and you can't have justice without strength. And you can't have either one of those things, either one of those things that stay in alignment with balance and harmony and equity without compassion. So compassion is going to be our theme for 2024 with the strength card, because the strength card really is about compassion. It's not about power over. It's not about authority. It is this card where we are patient and kind and curious and practicing a belief that everything and everyone deserves access to safety and healing from their past in order to recollect, reconfigure who they are in the present moment, and then stepping forward with more grace and wisdom. So 2024 as our strength year with the theme of compassion has the power to move our hearts towards a more embodied practice of compassion. Compassion for others and ourselves. I often say that magic wants what is best for us because it is us. So we need our witchcraft to reflect compassion through strength and justice. Earlier, when we put our hand over our heart and we gave ourselves a pause, a breath, and said, I've got your back, to whatever tough emotion was activated at the moment, this was a magical act of compassion to ourselves. And it was a spell of compassion on our worried brains, and it was a way to pause and listen to ourselves, because listening is another really wonderful practice of compassion. When we really dig down deep into compassion, we come down to these intuitive understandings that even the worst of the elite, the worst of the cis dude white man bros, even they deserve safety and access to healing. It takes a lot of strength to hold that truth in front of you, because the rage, because the hurt, because the trauma, because the injustice, because the oppression. When compassion tells us that even the worst of the worst deserve safety and access to healing, it is really natural to have a reaction of hell no. Hell no. And for me personally, when I pause and investigate my transition from a theme of boundaries to a theme of compassion, I come up against my own conflicting yet deep in my bones beliefs. So it's like this crossroads where my endorsement of a, I don't know, well-aimed Molotov cocktail meets my intuitive understanding that if I hurt you, I hurt me. Suffering begets suffering. Violence begets violence. So I grew up in a home that practiced Buddhism alongside witchcraft, though they weren't using the term witchcraft in my household at the time. It didn't have the same connotation that it does now. So, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, my trusted grown-ups were teaching me how to come to the altar, how to chant Buddhist mantras, how to pull oracle cards and let that guide us through our day. Throughout all of that, I was indoctrinated with the belief that, like I said, if I cause harm to you, I cause harm to me. And the problem with that is I also grew up in a world that is outright hateful to my community. And I'm going to fight back against that. If I see violence happening to my loved ones, then yeah, I'm going to use fucking violence if I have to end that abuse towards my loved ones. This contrariness lives in the very center of my being and reminds me that there's never a straightforward answer. An answer to this question I've been asking myself for a long, long time. Am I or am I not a pacifist? I perceive this question with a lot of nuance, a lot of back and forth. The debate team within my body, I have respect for a lot of things on both sides of the argument. But when I take a pause to get grounded and centered and in alignment with my spirit guides and ancestors, elementals, and then I look out around the world, I can see that violence doesn't fucking work. Violence begets violence begets violence, and how the fuck do we get out of it? And the answer I got when I went to my tarot, I got the Three of Swords, which is the quintessential, did I say that word right? The classic heartbreak card. Usually the Three of Swords is a literal heart being stabbed by three swords. I think there might even be like a storm in the background or something. Heartache. And one of the ways heartbreak shows up in our bodies is when our brains develop these difficult to break habits that started from a place of protecting ourselves, protecting our hearts, that turned into a harmful habit of discrediting and condescending our own hearts and the hearts of others. So there's the saying that the mind creates the canyon and the heart crosses it. And what the Three of Swords is saying to us is we need to find a way to help our brain remember that our heart is an ally, not an enemy. That the heart and the brain, the mind, process the world much more efficiently when they are in alignment with each other and they were they are able to make decisions about how to act through that space of allyship between the mind and the heart. And the Three of Swords is what it looks like when our brain, our mind, and our heart are out of alignment with each other, when we are speaking from very reactive places, very protective places, defensive places, instead of a place from an open heart. And this is a wonderful time to practice compassion, because our human being experience across the globe is having a Three of Swords moment. And somehow our collected consciousness decided that our brains were reasonable and our hearts were easily discredited because it is a fluid, nuanced, loving place where a lot of risk can happen. Our hearts experience risk a lot differently than our minds do. And because of that, somewhere along the line, probably with patriarchy, we decided that our mind, our brains, are superior to the heart. This also has a lot to do with sexism, right? Where men, whatever the fuck that means, are seen as more reasonable and logical than women, whatever that means, who are ruled by their emotions. Oh, which I guess in a way the Three of Swords is a non-binary card too, because it is like, I don't want to be either or, I want to be expansive, more expansive than that, please. I love when I can find a queer root in a tarot card, I love it. Queer roots in everything, please. Everything originated from queerness. So the Three of Swords is asking all of us this question. What compassion can you offer yourself today that will help your brain, your mind, remember that your heart is an ally, not an enemy? Others today, where you will start seeing them as an ally and not an enemy. The Three of Swords is our wayward station between the Chariot and the Strength card. It is not a place of movement. It is a place of stillness and internal shifting, internal work. This is where we start listening to the way we talk to ourselves and distinguishing between things we have been taught to believe and things that we want to believe about ourselves and how the world works. Okay, this is why we should all be in motherfucking therapy. 'Cause it's hard. It's hard work. And we're gonna need strength and compassion to do it. Hey, I have a question for you. Are you a narrow queer witch? Fabulous, so are we. We believe there is an inherent sacredness connecting queerness, transness, magic, and neurodivergence. Neuroqueer was originally coined by Nick Walker, PhD, as a verb, a way to subvert ourselves from normativity and heteronormativity simultaneously. Queer Conjure's all about that. Queer Conjure's all about subverting the normative and evoking, that's a word now, magical liberation. So if you are a neuroqueer witch, we want to hear from you. Send us an audio recording up to 4 minutes long, describing the ways being a neuroqueer informs your witchcraft. Just email jasperhawthorne@gmail.com, go to queerconjure.org and hit contact us, and give us an attachment of your audio, and we'll share it on the podcast. Blessed be. Mwah. Okay, so let's turn towards the strength card. In the book All of Our Stories by Beth Maiden, the strength card is seen as the card of compassionate activism. So there's that compassion word again. And there's a point where Beth Maiden writes the following. To my mind, it's the biggest challenge presented in the tarot. To add love to a world that so often feels filled with hate and fear. To take part in compassionate, love-led resistance. That takes real strength. To add love to a world that so often feels filled with hate and fear. How do we even begin to do that? Well, honestly, you know, there are these sayings, I am but a single stalk of wheat, and I am the entire field. I am a single drop in the ocean, and I am the entire ocean in a single drop. So this adding love to a world filled with hate and fear starts by giving love and kindness to the one person it is most difficult to be loving and kind to. Yourself. If it wasn't challenging to love yourself, there wouldn't be a multi-billion dollar self-improvement industry, okay? Here's the hill I'm gonna die on. Everywhere we turn, there is something or someone in our face marketing the newest form of be a better you product, right? So it takes a lot of energy, a lot of unlearning, a lot of resilience, resistance to mainstream messages, a lot of fucking strength to love yourself. We were born loving ourselves, but we lost the tools to do so along the way. And the fault is not within the individual, but the fault is with a capitalist society that doesn't want you to love yourself. It wants you to buy crap that isn't gonna do crap. Ugh. So how do we put all of that bullshit aside and begin cultivating practices that are compassionate and love-led towards ourselves? And I'm not talking about wearing a t-shirt that says, be the change you wish to see in the world. I'm talking about real internal work. We cannot add love to a world that feels harsh when we are harsh to ourselves. That's where the Three of Swords energy comes in again, right? We can't add love to a world when our brain is shaming our heart for being wounded by risking love. And that's why we put hand to heart, take a deep breath, and say, buddy, it's okay, I've got you. The strength card shows a person touching a lion near the most fearsome, perceived as deadly place, their mouth, their teeth. So this is a gesture that communicates, you are not the monster you have been made out to be. And that's how we learn to love ourselves, not by shoving away the parts of ourselves that we are most ashamed of, but by offering comfort and understanding and forgiveness to that part. The Strength card marks a moment within the Major Arcana that moves the Chariot forward from learning what one's identity and skill set is, and then this challenging transition to the strength needed to face fears and desires that the ego would rather pretend didn't exist. You know, the lion is the wounded animal our ego created by repressing the mysteries of our own emotional complexities. So Rachel Pollack, our matron saint of tarot wisdom, the author of 78 Degrees of Wisdom, talks about strength in a way that, you know, the lion can only be tamed after we stop trying to control it. Our compulsions, our angers, our fears can only be controlled once we stop trying to force them into submission. So the fifth spirit tarot, which is the tarot deck that I've been working with the most and falling in love with the most this year, it pictures this adorable red-headed queer kneeling in the grass, snuggling a pit bull. It's so cute. And on the ground is a leash and one of those chain choke collars. So, like, this person has approached the pit bull, which, you know, pit bulls have a bad rap, and taken this controlling chain off from around their neck. And they're snuggling the little baby, and the person has the words love and trust tattooed across their upper knees, and on their arm they have a sunflower tattoo and a tattoo of a broken heart with a band-aid over it. So this is an amazing representation of the Strength card, and I'm going to read to you what the guidebook says, Charlie Claire Burgess. Okay, here goes. 8. Strength. The strength of the Strength card is not bulging muscles and brute force, nor is it impervious defenses and iron commands. This strength is something else entirely. The strength to be vulnerable. Vulnerable, blah, blah, blah. When this card appears, find the courage to face what scares you and do it with an open heart. This strength might manifest as sitting with uncomfortable emotions and painful truths, or opening your heart to that which might hurt you and trusting that it won't. The strength uses gentleness rather than force, compassion instead of control, love in the face of hate. Strength says, be strong, but soft. Be gentle, but don't give up. And when the night is darkest, take comfort in the blazing boldness of your vulnerable heart. For true strength is the courage to meet your fears without weapons, with the radical compassion of unguarded flesh and the tender resolve of a scarred heart. Courage isn't the absence of fear, but the strength to not be controlled by it. So compassion, 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 infinity. Yeah, putting the Chariot and strength side by side for a moment, we go from a place of being really focused on creating and holding and practicing our own boundaries to an internal place where we are doing the hard work of facing our fears And this work is going to be continued within the Hermit card, which will be the next year. And I just kind of want to pause and think about the hate and the fear and the violence and the oppression that is happening in our world right now with Israel and Gaza, Ukraine and Russia, mass shootings. Editor's note, earlier I said over 700. I meant to say nearly 700 mass shootings, but anyway. We have been cut off as a whole from the slow practices it takes to have cultivated compassion, love for self, courage in the face of our own fears, to act from a powerful, centered place with a sense of calm. I guess we need to consider what happens when strength is reversed, when strength turns into weakness. How can we have compassion for that? Our world looks like this right now because of this inner torment that comes from being cut off from our depth, from our mysteries, from our fluidity of emotions. To hold those things as sacred, as credible, as wealth of information. Then when we're tormented on the inside like that, we have this very strong compulsion to control our environment and the people around us in a way we think will make us happy. And the most extreme of that is this violence and hate that we see day to day. So really, practicing compassion is the hardest fucking thing we can do. And that's what 2024 is going to have in store for us. It's this you know, 2024 has the power to move our hearts. And if we all start moving our hearts together toward each other, having compassion for each other and ourselves, we can enter this new realm of consciousness, this new realm of being, this new realm where we can start diffusing the violence. We can cease the fire. We can stop the genocide. We can hold compassion for the hateful people who fear the trans bodies, the queer bodies. They fear our joyous celebration of ourselves. We can hold compassion for them and hope that one day they will stop hating themselves so much that they try to control us. I'm not saying give up. Like, I still think we need to burn the motherfucker down. But we need to do it from a place of compassion, from a place of love, from a place of adding love to a world that's filled with that hate. And, you know, in the face of this burnout that I am experiencing, that I know a lot of us are experiencing, this burnout from trying to put out fire after fire after fire, trying to live life where there's this sense of urgency, this sense of crumbling rights crumbling autonomy, crumbling sovereignty. The fact that somebody can literally have control over whether or not you're alive. I still have a lot of hope for human beings. I still have a lot of love for human beings. That might make me foolish, but this is the fool's journey after all, right? And I know it's cheesy to just be like, peace is possible, peace is attainable. I have so much hope and inspiration to make this world better, to let everyone have access to safety and healing, and to allow the space everyone needs to start believing they deserve it too. I have something to tell you. I am a book nerd and a bit of an anarchist. You might have noticed already. And that is why I am so deeply honored to be an affiliate of Firestorm Books. Firestorm Books is a collectively owned radical bookstore and community event space in Asheville, North Carolina. Since 2008, Firestorm Books has supported grassroots movements in southern Appalachia while developing a workplace on the basis of cooperation, empowerment, and equity. If you go to queerconjure.org and on the upper menu bar, there's a link labeled books. You just click that link to browse a list of my, Jasper, favorite books. Anything you purchase through that link will return 10% back to me to support the creation of this podcast. So say you buy a book for $30, Firestorm sends me $3. Firestorm's mission is to demonstrate the feasibility and desirability of a workplace based on free cooperation. They seek to sustain and nourish their collective through fulfilling work, personal empowerment, and equitable compensation while providing a hub for anarchist thought and culture in WNC. This has been another fabulous episode of the Queer Conjure Podcast, produced by Jasper and edited by Ava. Our theme music is by Mother Marrow. Our interviews and conversations are recorded via Zoom and published through Podcaster's Spotify. You can listen to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and find out more at queerconjure.org. Blessed be. Mwah.